있었어요.
Welcome to the worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad that you are able to join with us this morning as we once again come to you from an empty sanctuary as we comply with our denominational leadership suggestions that we and recommendations that we not have an in-person worship service yet. But we are glad you're able to join us through technology, and believe me, church members, as I look out across the congregation, I can see your smiling faces and I know you join with us in worship. We have a number of things going on this week. I would refer you to the bulletin, which can be accessed online. I would also ask that if you're not receiving the weekly, daily emails that are coming from the church, that you call the pastor or call the church office and get your email address listed in that group. If you're not able to receive emails, you'll call the pastor directly. He'll make sure that you're getting the information that's going out. I would draw your attention to at least three fellowship opportunities this week. We'll be having a fellowship time this morning at 10 o'clock following this 8:30 service, and also on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Thursday afternoons at 12:30. If you just need to actually see some faces of church congregation members, here's your opportunity to join through Zoom, and the information comes out in the email that comes out every morning. And again, if you're not getting that, if you can call the church office, we can give you the information for that. We have a number of giving opportunities. We're going to be stressing one later in the service with our Epworth Mother's Day offering. This is a traditional offering that's taken up every Mother's Day, going to support Epworth Children's Home. We're going to give you a lot more information about that later in the service, but Epworth is one of those giving opportunities that is presented on our giving page, and a pastor will be talking about that a little bit later. We celebrate with all of you who are celebrating birthdays this week, especially Sean, Bill, and Ralph, and also everyone who's celebrating anniversaries this week, Darl Jean and David and Judy Copley. A special, special love to all the mothers of our church. Whether you have children or not, you are a mother of our church, and we really appreciate all that you do for us. Again, it's sad that we're not all here together, but we know that we're all here together in spirit, and a special love goes out to all the mothers of the church this morning. I would invite you to participate in the service as much as you see fit. We will be having the lyrics to all the songs will be on your screen. We will have any responsive readings we have will also be on the screen, and we'll be leading you in worship from this sacred place, our sanctuary. If there are no other announcements, I would invite you to prepare your hearts, your minds, and your spirits for worship.
In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along, where the water cool flow bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all blood, some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and appear, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our fear. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season.
Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us pray on this Mother's Day. This day we gather with eager hearts, hungry for your word, yearning for the joy you promise in love. O God, together we hold a vision of your kingdom, a people of prayer and open hearts, a loving body of Christ, eager to learn and eager to share. You bless us, O God, and shine upon us with the mercy of your salvation, and your good earth has yielded its increase through those who have brought us great blessing. On this day of celebrating your love, we lift to you those who have given us life, those who have loved us, those who have blessed us, and those who have taught us, our mothers. May your blessing pour out upon the women who gave us birth and those beautiful, strong women of faith who have been mothers to us along the journey. We praise you, O God, for your gift of motherly love, both gentle and fierce, both strong and humble, both kind and true. Where we have been so blessed, we give our grateful praise, for you have provided loving hands and have worked so hard in raising us, cared enough to correct us, blessed us in ways we cannot have fully known as children. We call forth your compassion upon every mother who has unknowingly caused pain and suffering. And so we lift to you our mothers, so imperfect, also so wounded by this world. We bless our mothers this day, no matter what they have done or left undone. We do this because we believe in your healing, and we believe in your love, and we believe that you love every mother, good or bad, and we stand together with all mothers in solidarity, for we all are in need of your grace. Where we have failed because we did not know better, help us to forgive ourselves. Where we have seen your face in any woman who has been to us a mother, in her face we have seen your light and your love, and we give thanks. For where they have loved, they have kept your word and blessed us. We lift to you those who desire to be mothers but cannot be. We lift to you the heart of every mother who has watched her child die. Every mother who had been a victim of abuse, every woman who stands in protest against a world that massacres her children and renames them collateral damage. We lift to you the prayer of every mother who has ever loved and lost. We lift to you our Mother Earth. We lift to you our Mother Church. We lift to you, O God, your mother's heart. And although we cannot fully express our gratitude, help each one of us to be your blessing of love, a blessing straight from your heart. Amen.
Please join with me as we sing our hymn, How Firm a Foundation.
This time, I just want to say a word of good morning to the children who are worshiping with us this morning. We're glad that you're worshiping, that you've gathered with your family around a computer or around a TV, however you've been able to worship with us. I praise God for you this morning and for your coming to worship. And this morning, I want us to talk about rocks. Okay, so I know that's a little different, but we're going to talk about rocks. Now, there's in my life, at least with my boys, rocks are a big thing. We find rocks all over the place. We pick them up. We put them in pockets. We bring them home. Sometimes they go through the laundry. All sorts of things. Rocks are always happening in our life. But I want us to talk about rocks, stones. And I've actually got a rock here with me that I want to show y'all. It's one of my favorite rocks. And so, let's see. Here we go. It's a big rock. So this is one of my favorite rocks. And one of the things I want us to talk about with rocks is that in today's passage of scripture that we're going to read in just a little bit, we hear from 1 Peter that God wants us to be living stones, living rocks. Now, this isn't a living rock. This is just a regular rock. It's heavy. It's big. But it is a little bit different. It's not alive, but it does have something really cool on the inside. So when you turn it around, you can see that on the inside, it's full of this purple mineral called amethyst. It's got this beautiful spiky pattern that goes on inside of it. And I wanted to share it with you today to help us to think about the ways that we can be like living stones, living rocks. That's what God says in 1 Peter, that he wants us to be like living stones, living rocks that God can build into a spiritual dwelling place, that God can use to be God's sign on this earth. So we want to be like living rocks. So that means that we're going to have some structure to us, but it also means that we let God move us around where God needs us. We let God put us in God's building, in God's mission, where God needs us to be. So I want us to think about that. I want y'all, next time you see a stone that you really like, a rock that you really like, think about how God has called you to be a living stone so that God can build you into a sign of God's kingdom, of God's grace, of God's mission, of God's church in the world. Now, this stone was really is really special to me because my grandmother gave it to me. I called her Mama Khaki, and she gave me this rock for my birthday one year. And that's special today because, as we've talked about a little bit so far, today is Mother's Day. That was too heavy for me to keep holding. Today is Mother's Day, and so we want to remember our moms this day today. And so if you haven't told your mom happy Mother's Day yet, I want you to go ahead and look at her and tell her happy Mother's Day. I want you to be sure that you're treating your mom really nice all day today, that you have a chance maybe to call grandmas and tell them happy Mother's Day too. And as we finish up our children's sermon this morning, I just want to take a minute for us to recognize as the church that we have three moms who are celebrating their first Mother's Day in our church. And that's Brooke McPhail, Amanda McPhail Smith, and Julia Smith. And so we celebrate them especially today. We say a happy Mother's Day to them for the first time as they get to be mothers on this Mother's Day for the first time. And so we praise God for them. We praise God for all of our moms this day, and we now go to God in prayer. Heavenly Almighty God, thank you for calling us into your life, into your mission, into your spiritual house, where you build us into what we're supposed to be, where you shape us into a structure that will call people to you, that will show people your grace. Allow us to submit to being built by you. Help us to be living stones, stones that you can use for your glory and for your mission. Amen. This morning, as we turn our hearts in prayer to God and remember the prayers of the church, I do just want to issue the invitation that if you do have a prayer concern that you'd like to share with the church, that you'd like shared on Sunday morning, you can email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org, and I'm happy to include those prayers. We also, one of our daily emails is devoted to prayer during the week, and so we'll include those there. We'll also include some of the prayers that have been used on Sunday mornings, as well as some other prayer resources that can help in your prayer life. So if you'd like to be added to that daily email, you can also email me, pastor@gracecolumbia.org, and I'll add you to our daily email that's coming out Monday through Friday each day. So now let's go to God in prayer. Oh God, your Son remained with his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them to love all people as neighbors. As his disciples in this age, we offer our prayers on behalf of the universe in which we are privileged to live and on behalf of our neighbors with whom we share it. And so today we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially this day for Ernestine and Violet, for Ed and Peter, Flora, June, Marion, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19, and for all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. We pray for all those who are grieving for Ellen and Mark Merritt and their family in the death of Ellen's uncle, Michael Murphy, and especially for Ellen's Aunt Joy. For Richard and Sandra Love and their family and the death of Richard's uncle, John Love. John was Richard's father's last surviving sibling. For Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew, Mikey's grandmother passed away, and he's also currently seeking a new job after being laid off from coronavirus slowdowns in his previous position. We also pray for Kristen as she has gone through some testing for some abnormal cells that were discovered, and for Kristen as she serves in the essential field of pharmacy at this time, when we rely heavily on our healthcare professionals. The service for Mikey's grandmother was on this weekend. We pray for Nancy Donnie's family in the death of her son, Danny Donnie Clark. We pray especially for his wife and children in this time of loss. For Barbara's family and friends as she passed away last week, Barbara was a friend of Donna Houston, and the wife of a Methodist pastor. For Randy's family and friends, as he passed away this past week, he was a former coworker and friend of Larry Lott. For Paul and his family and the death of his daughter, Paul was a teacher at Chapin High School, and also for Brent, another teacher at Chapin High, whose father passed away last week. We pray for Rita Pardue, for Janice Seeley, for Kristen, John, Liam, Allie, and Parker, who are Kurt Van Gelder's daughter and her family. For Vivian, Betty Arant's great-granddaughter. For Harris, a friend of the Hazeldens who had triple bypass this past week. For Steve and Mary Lynn, as Steve went on hospice care this week. For Alice Truluck's friend who is caring for parents suffering from Alzheimer's. For Christy and Kelly, friends of Betsy Smoke. For Kay, Betsy's sister. And for Karen, Jeremiah's sister. We also pray for Kylie, who is the new baby cousin of Angus. For Scott, a resident of the Aldersgate home in Orangeburg, recently diagnosed with leukemia. For Joy, a dear friend of Gloria Bowden. For Linda and Bill, as Linda recovers from surgery. For Kathy Jameson. For Caitlin, Floyd, and Stephen Fowler. For Billy Thompson. For Kathy Jennings and her coworkers in the NICU. For all first responders and police officers, for Ahmaud Arbery's family, for all healthcare workers, our veterans and VA staff, and for all members of Grace and their families, and especially all mothers this day. Open our hearts to your power moving around us and between us and within us, until your glory is revealed in our love of both friend and enemy, in communities transformed by justice and compassion and the healing of all that is broken. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our cornerstone, and as he taught us, so now we pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join with me in singing Grace Alone.
Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make is only by His grace. Every mountain we will climb, every strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, He will hold forth. only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the first letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. And this morning I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear these words. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to Him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, He is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. One of the things that worries me, it gnaws at me really, is an ongoing concern that I and the people for whom I am responsible are not growing in God's grace. Now, it may be a strange thing for me to admit to being worried about, but there's plenty of places I believe in Scripture and in my own call story that lend itself to the fact that this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be helping people to grow in God's grace. And so I worry sometimes about whether or not I and the people for whom I'm responsible, this church, my family, are growing in God's grace. You see, as much fuss is made about growth in worship attendance or giving, as much fuss is made about those in denominational publications and denominational emails and even in the mass media about all these things where worship is declining and giving is going down, even with all of that, the thing that really worries me down deep, the thing that really worries me as your pastor is whether or not I am longing for the pure spiritual milk that Peter talks about in this passage, so that by it I may grow in salvation. That's what really down deep worries me. And I don't just worry about me, but I worry about all of you as well. I worry and I look for signs of longing in us. I look for signs of longing for that nourishment in God's grace that shows that we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and that we want more. I look for those signs of longing in us because those signs of longing are indicators that growth is possible in us. And not just possible, but they're indicators that growth is probably happening in us. When we have those signs of longing for that pure spiritual milk that leads to growth in salvation, it indicates that growth probably is already happening, but is that at least it's possible. Because you see, it isn't just the nourishment that's important in and of itself. Peter makes that clear. We got to be longing for that nourishment, but why? So that we can receive the growth in salvation. It's nourishment so that for the purpose of growth in grace. Now, I've known plenty of folks who will show up to everything at church, volunteer for every opportunity. They will show this kind of desire to be present all the time, which can look like, and it looks like in me sometimes, like, oh yeah, well, he must be longing that pure spiritual milk. Well, maybe I am, but I'm not longing to grow in it either, and that's an important piece. So it's not just are we longing for that nourishment, but are we longing for the growth that's supposed to come with it? Because we see these folks who, and I've seen them, they'll come to everything, they'll volunteer for everything, and yet somehow those same folks will be the ones, and y'all may have heard this before, they'll be the same ones who will say, well, I'm just not being fed. Everything looks like they're coming for the nourishment, coming for the growth, but somehow they'll still say, I'm just not being fed. Mike Slaughter, I think it was, I heard him speak one time. He's a pastor, a Methodist pastor out of Ohio. He had a great response to this mindset, a way to shift it, if you will. He says, the desire to come to church, to get involved is great, but if you're waiting on someone to feed you, you'll always leave empty. Because coming to church and even getting involved is like looking at the menu. It's the spiritual food that the church has to offer you, but you still have to eat it for yourself. And eating, it's not just coming. It's not just being present. It's not just volunteering. Eating, it means coming and wanting to be involved and wanting to grow. Desiring to come and be involved is great. It shows that maybe, just maybe, you're longing for that pure spiritual milk. But the next step is you have to want to grow through it. You have to want to grow in it. To be changed by grace enough to actually pick up a fork and eat. Not just wait on somebody to spoon feed you the next bite. You see, when we start focusing on growing in grace, when we start focusing on growing in grace and salvation as the end of receiving spiritual nourishment, instead of seeing the nourishment as the end unto itself, when we start focusing on growth as the end, instead of just being fed as the end, I just want to feel full, I don't want to have to grow after I'm done. When we start to see growth as the end, then we're ready to grow and be changed into who God would have us to be. According to Peter, who God would have us to be is disciples who are living stones in the spiritual house of God. Living stones in the spiritual house of God. Christ, the living stone, recreates us as living stones, stones that grow and allow themselves to be built into a visible signpost of God on earth. A living stone is a really fun image. It's a really fun thing to be in my mind, because anything alive is changing. Anything alive is growing. This is a hard truth for us sometimes, because we legitimately don't like change. Change is hard. It requires work, whether it's a change at work or a change at home, change in our health or finances, or even, God forbid, a change at church. We just don't like things to change. But growth is change. You can't grow if you won't change. Period. And the whole point of being spiritually nourished is to grow in grace and salvation, to become living stones. Because anything that is not changing or growing, changing and growing, is dead. even if it doesn't know it yet. So the question for us as the church is not, how can we be disciples, living stones, and have everything stay the same? We work real hard at that. Being disciples and have everything stay the same. Or go back to normal. Or get back to the way things were. The question for us is not how can we be disciples and get things back to normal or back to the way things were or have things stay the same, the way they've always been, the way they always were. The question for us is how will we grow through the changes we are experiencing even now? How will we receive the spiritual nourishment, keep longing for the spiritual nourishment of God so that we can grow in salvation and be transformed into the living stones that are built into the very dwelling of God that point people to Jesus Christ, the cornerstone? How can we grow through the changes we are experiencing even now, nourished by that pure spiritual food of God so that we will be an even more holy spiritual dwelling of God tomorrow and the next day and the next day? That's our question. That's our question. How can we grow as living stones in the spiritual house of God? The spiritual house of God, the church that holds Christ to be its cornerstone, the stone that holds the whole structure together, the stone that gives us the strength we need to stand even in the toughest of times and continue to grow in the light of His glory and salvation. How can we grow in our faith, in our hope, in our understanding of God, in our love for one another, for the world, and for God? Not in spite of the changes in our lives, but because we know the truth. Everything is always changing in God's house, in God's life. We just heard God's dwelling is built out of living, growing stones. And it's always changing, always growing. And so we don't have to try and do things in spite of the changes happening to us, happening around us, happening in our lives. Instead, we can do it because of the changes, because we know the truth that God is always changing and restoring, transforming the world, and we want to be a part of what God is doing. We want to be a part of God's transformation, of God's change, of God's growth in the world. Today, as we think about this change piece and this being living stones, being a spiritual house of God, being disciples who reflect God's ever transforming of the world, I can't help but think about, and I listed his name in the prayer concerns, but I can't help but think about Ahmaud Arbery, who we found out this week was gunned down while taking a jog in a Georgia neighborhood. And I can't help but think about his mom on this Mother's Day. And many people ran 2.23 miles this week on his birthday for him. But I can't help but think of the deep-seated racism that still exists in this world. And the arrogance that it took for two men to act on their biases, on their preconceived notions, to gather their weapons when they saw this young man run by their house, a route that he'd jogged before many times, apparently, and decide that they were going to get in and go question him because he needed to answer their questions to prove that he was allowed to be there. I can't help but think about these systemic sins like racism, but in particular that today that made that thing possible, and what it means for us as disciples, as living stones who are supposed to be growing and transforming in light of God's grace, in light of God's mercy, to show people what the kingdom of God actually looks like. What do we have to say about that? How are we letting God build us and transform us according to God's grace and God's mercy to show people that that is not okay, that that mindset is not okay in this world anymore? That we should not be waiting, that the DA shouldn't have to wait until everybody saw the video before they press charges and actually start an investigation. How do we make it where our life becomes a signpost for God's mission and God's kingdom in this world in such a way that it helps to eradicate that kind of evil from our world? How are we growing into that kind of spiritual dwelling place for God? How are we being built even now into that kind of kingdom of God? How is our conception of God getting bigger so that that kind of behavior, that kind of evil, that kind of action in this world becomes less and less prevalent? Because it seems to me that we haven't done such a great job over the course of our first 2,000 years or so of Christian history. So how do we do it better? How does our conception of God grow? How do we reflect God's transformation of the world in a way that points to something different? One of my favorite books and favorite images from it is from the Chronicles of Narnia, the Prince Caspian book. And it's a scene when Lucy, who is the youngest of the Pevensey children, meets Aslan again after their long separation. They haven't seen Aslan, who represents Christ in the story, since the previous book. And they've been back in Narnia for a while. And she exclaims to him upon seeing him, "Aslan, you're bigger." "That's because you're older, little one," Aslan answered. "Not because you are," she asked. "I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger," he replied. Do we find God to be bigger now than when we first encountered God? Do we find God to be bigger now than when we first experienced God's grace? Do we see the ways that God has transformed us, the ways we have grown, and so it seems that God has grown? And how can we know? How can we know if we are growing? We have to honestly evaluate if our understanding and experience of God is growing. We have to examine if our lives and our actions, our thoughts and intentions bear fruit the way that Peter describes it in our passage. Do we as disciples, as the church, proclaim God's mighty acts? Do we proclaim that once we were no people, but now we are God's people? Do we live as people who once had not received mercy, but who have now received mercy? Have we allowed ourselves to be built by God into his spiritual house with Christ as the cornerstone in such a way that every fiber of our being shows God's light shining into the darkness? How are we growing as living stones to be more like that and less concerned with how we can be fed, how we can keep things the same? Same isn't working. How do we grow and partner with God in the transformation of the world? Would you pray with me this day? Heavenly and Almighty God, you've provided us with pure spiritual food so that we might grow in salvation. Help us to take and eat, to taste and see that you are good, to desire growth as living stones in your spiritual house, in your spiritual kingdom, in your kingdom come. Help us to accept your grace, to accept your mercy, to accept your call on our lives to be disciples who know Jesus Christ and who desperately want to make him known to others through our words, through our actions, through every fiber of who we are. We ask that you would reveal your Holy Spirit to us now, that you would stir each and every one of our hearts, that you would kindle in us this desire to grow, this desire to be transformed, this desire to show you more to a world that desperately needs you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our cornerstone. Amen. Would you join with me as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
As we prepare our hearts to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us, I just want to remind you that you can give online. The giving portal is available from our website, which is gracecolumbia.org. You'll find the links to the giving sites on the right-hand side of the page up at the top in the navigation bar. It says electronic giving, or on the left-hand side of the page in the bar over there, and it says online giving in that place. So pick your poison. You can go online giving or electronic giving. Either way, it'll get you to our giving page on the website, from there you can set up a recurring gift. You can give a one-time gift. You can log in and create an account, which from there you can do the recurring or one-time gifts, but also set it up where it's a little easier to do every time you want to give to Grace. I want to celebrate a couple of things, and before we go any further, I just want to celebrate. We have two mothers in the room with us today, Miss Cecile and Miss Susan Floyd, who's joining us and providing a little more richness in our singing another voice for me to try and harmonize with that our singing leads you in a way that helps everybody to be able to sing along. We're grateful for both of them on this Mother's Day and for their sharing of their gifts on this Mother's Day morning. And so we praise God for them. I also want to just share some celebrations. We did, Grace applied for the Small Business Small Business Administration PPP loan, and we received that. That is for payroll protection, and so we have been approved for that loan and received the funds. And the controls that we're putting in place around that is we are setting up a separate bank account just for these funds. The funds will live there. We'll pay for the particular pieces of our operating expenses that are approved for use by these loan funds. That is payroll and utilities costs and mortgage interest. We'll pay for those particular expenses from our regular operating funds and then reimburse our operating account from the loan funds in a separate checking account so that we can follow how the money was spent so that when it comes time to apply for forgiveness of the loan through the Small Business Administration, we'll have documentation to be able to do so. But I wanted to let y'all know about that. I also wanted to let you know that the Conference Board of Pensions and Health Benefits has approved a direct billing holiday for the months of July, August, and September. And what that means is that the church's portion of what it costs to have a pastor in terms of pension and insurance will be covered by the annual conference for those 3 months. So we'll be able to, that'll happen automatically, but it's a way for us to celebrate and to celebrate the work of the annual conference as well as just celebrate some good news there in the financial world of grace. And the last thing I want to celebrate before I tell you about our special giving opportunity is that this past Tuesday we publicized that Midlands Gives was happening and that Aldersgate Special Needs Home, which is a United Methodist ministry that many of you here at Grace have been involved with, was a part of that Midlands Gives, and Aldersgate raised over $10,000 on that Midlands Gives Tuesday, which surpassed their goals, and so we give thanks for all who gave generously to Aldersgate on Midlands Gives and made it possible for them to receive more than they had asked for or imagined. And so we praise God for that. The other special giving opportunity is, as Sam talked about, is another United Methodist ministry, South Carolina United Methodist Ministry, which is Epworth Children's Home. Epworth Children's Home doesn't receive any apportionments, which is our missional giving through the conference. Instead, they rely on gifts from churches and from individual Methodists who help to support their work. Now, Epworth has gone beyond just providing the children's home portion of their ministry, where children in at-risk situations can come to live on campus and receive care and counseling and help in school and stay there as long as they need to be there. They still have that component, but they've also begun to expand into more family care, into offering foster care training, into offering support for families in particular situations, family counseling. They've expanded their ministry to include all of that, as well as apartments and places for children who come through Epworth and others to live once they've turned 18 and enter into the job force or enter into college, to give them a place where they can still call home and not be left out. And so we have this opportunity to give to Epworth today. Before we do so, as we prepare our hearts to do so, we have a special video to share with you about the ministry of Epworth.
I was 8 years old, and I was there until I was 14. You know, if you lived at the children's home for any amount of time, those guys are, you know, and many of us stay in contact today. So it was really like having another family.
When I came, what I hoped for was a safe place, a place where I wouldn't be violated, a place where the physical abuse would stop. That was as much as I could hope for. I mean, that was, if I got that, that would be enough. Being with social workers, to know that there was going to be food, enough food to eat at the end of the day, to know that there was going to be safe shelter at the end of the day, those things meant everything, because that's routine stuff that we take for granted that so many people can't afford to take granted. The persons whose lives have been impacted by places like Epworth couldn't take for granted on a day-to-day basis.
What makes it different from my home setting is that I know that I'm sheltered, I am, you know, well kept, and I know that I can depend on the people there that work here. And able to relate from all of that, I would say my faith is very strong. Now I'm very closer to God. I ask him questions, I talk to him. Sometimes it looks like I'm talking to myself. I think my faith with God is very strong.
So to get to that place where you could think about there is a future, there might be a chance for me. That's better than you ever imagined life could be. So when somebody says, I see something more than that in you, you jump at that. When I started seeing that there were people in the world who loved me and cared about me, who didn't necessarily know everything that there was to know about me, but some of those people did know, and knowing the very worst, they still sought to love me, to reach out to me, and although they were different from me, they were still genuine about those relationships. People continued to walk with me in the journey and not necessarily expect anything in return, but then started saying, what we do expect from you in return is that you have gifts and graces that the world needs. We think you're important. You got something to contribute, and we're looking for that, and we see that in you. You start being hopeful about what the possibilities are.
I think it was only once we started getting a little older and we had a chance to kind of back up from the mirror, if you would, and reflect on, you know, what Epworth was able to do for us and provide us, you know, in one of those times that we needed that most, are we able to reflect and appreciate what they did for us and gave to us. I've just been humbled, you know, by it all, and I've just been very thankful that I've been able to give our family a different life than ours growing up. I don't know what, if I didn't have Epworth back then, I don't know that would have been possible.
Honestly, if I haven't came to Epworth, I don't know where would I have been.
Epworth is about doing more than simply rescuing people, but about seeking to make people whole.
Epworth changes lives.
Having prepared our hearts to give to God, let us go to God in prayer. Loving God, as we offer our gifts to you, we know you see us more clearly than the world sees us, or even than we see ourselves. We've made foolish choices, valued things that were not worthy, and yet you have claimed us, deemed us precious, counted us worth saving by the death and resurrection of your Son. No gift that we can offer can come close to balancing out your relentless love. But we give them with a heart of gratitude. We give ourselves in the name of the one you gave for us. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Join with me as we sing our hymn, Now Thank We All Our God.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given. The Son and Him who reigns with Him in highest heaven. The one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be.
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. We are sent forth in the power of Christ's resurrection. Alleluia. The nourishing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the light of God and the life of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.